Welcome to the Dream Saver Podcast.
Let's talk about the abolitionists.
Let's do it.
The abolitionists, for those of you that live in Wyoming, you'll have two chances to go see the film. October 13th in Star Valley. I would highly encourage you to go see this film. In both locations, Cheyenne and Star Valley, November 2nd and October 13th, because it's a huge step for Wyoming in the fight against child sex trafficking, not only in the Dominican Republic, but across Wyoming as well. And obviously these two events are big fundraisers for us, and all of your donations will go toward the preventing of sex trafficking in the Dominican Republic. But just for yourself to become more aware on what's going on, we would highly encourage you to see this film. And this film, basically what happened, it's produced once again by our friends at Operation Underground Railroad, and it follows on hidden camera Tim Ballard and his team as they infiltrate child sex trafficking rings in Haiti and Colombia and actually perform rescue. So you'll get to see live how sex traffickers are operating, how Operation Underground Railroad is catching them, and what you can do personally to get involved in the fight. Because everybody can do something. The excuse that, well, I can't do anything about it is just not true. Because everybody can do something, and everybody's got different talents, everyone's got different resources, and you can do something. But Mitch, I want you to tell us about the day you saw the abolitionists. I think it was May 16th, I think, in Idaho Falls is where we went. So take us through that day. Take us through kind of your thoughts before the film, kind of maybe any reservation. I know you didn't have any reservations on seeing the film, but maybe what you think people might have reservations of seeing the film, and your thoughts during the film. And I know after the film you had a chance to meet some people from OUR and also our friends over at Operation Shield and our conversation on the way home. So why don't you go ahead and tell us about that day and how it's affected you personally.
Yeah. So as I recall, May 16th feels like that was a really long time ago. But Tyler and I had agreed that we were going to go see the film on May 16th. I think, was it your first time seeing it at that point?
My second time seeing it.
Your second time. Okay, I wasn't sure. But on our way there, this was actually when Tyler asked me to be a part of Gifts of Grace to help out during the summer. We were on our drive on our way there, and we talked a lot about Operation Underground Railroad and what Tyler's vision for Gifts of Grace was, and a lot about Operation Shield. At the time, it was a Prosperity Project.
That's right.
They've since changed their name, but regardless, the work they do is incredible.
Yeah, we'll give them a little shout out too. Yeah. Matt Smith, we mentioned him on our last podcast about him being a real good mentor for us, because he's kind of established his nonprofit in Idaho Falls. And what they do is the kids that are rescued, he helps provide healing and sanctuary for them. He's been a key factor for us. I mean, he wants to get something started in the Dominican Republic. We'd like to get something started in Haiti. So, you know, that partnership is blooming, and hopefully as we both continue to grow, we can benefit each other. But yeah, back at the time, they were known as the Prosperity Project.
Yeah. And on our way there, Tyler had mentioned that he was going to introduce me to some of these people. And he mentioned Heidi, who at the time was doing a lot of work for Operation Underground Railroad. She just keeps climbing the ladder. Shout out to her. Heidi is also awesome.
Yeah, Heidi Franson she's awesome.
We just can't say enough about the individuals in these other nonprofits. You know, a lot of people would think, you know, you guys are kind of involved in the same thing. You should be competitors. But the thing is people who think that way don't have the right vision. They don't think about the kids, because it's all about the kids. And if you don't go into a nonprofit for the money. I mean,
that's right.
If you're involved in a nonprofit and you're getting angry at other nonprofits because they're stealing your thunder, you need to check yourself, because you've obviously lost your vision. And that's something that I've realized early on. I recognized early on, and that's happening all over the place. However, with Operation Shield and those we know, Operation Underground Railroad, I think that's why I love them so much, is it's about the kids, and they are willing to partner with anybody if it means saving one more child.
Yeah, and just a second what Mitch said, and you know, I mean, we, you know, there are limited resources, and obviously, you know, we would prefer that money comes our way. But as long as the money is going to fight sex trafficking, either in prevention, healing, awareness, rescue, honestly, we don't care.
Yeah. I mean, it all needs to happen. And yep. These kids need it. There's kids who they need the prevention because, I mean, if we can prevent them from going into this kind of a life, it is absolutely worth it. There's kids who are already there that need to be rescued. And not only do they need to be rescued, they need aftercare. You know, there's so much that needs to be done. And the fact that people are willing to put their time and energy into each of these areas, I mean, because one organization, I don't think, can do all of it. They can't. And so partnering up is what needs to happen. And they're demonstrating that it's possible, and it's incredible.
Exactly. And we just a quick little tidbit. At the Star Valley showing, we're going to have a list of all the different charities that fight sex trafficking. You know, obviously, Gifts of Grace, Operation Underground Railroad, Operation Shield will be on that list. But then there's organizations like Truckers Against Trafficking. You know, there's a lot of truckers that live in Star Valley and how they can help prevent sex trafficking. There's organizations that work out of Nepal, Cambodia, Africa. And so while Gifts of Grace is hosting the event in Star Valley and, you know, we would hope that you would donate to us, well, we will have a list of all the ways that you can get involved because, honestly, we're all in this together, all of us organizations. And we can't do it alone. No organization can do it alone. So we hope that you'll at least support someone who's trying to fight this evil. Yeah,
absolutely.
But yeah, take us back to that day. Where were we at? Yeah.
Well, we were on the drive and you were mentioning all the individuals who were going to be there in promoting the abolitionists. Tyler and I went to one showing. We convinced my mom and my brother and my sister to go along with us as well. And they met us there and I remember us walking into the theater, and we were there so early, it was empty.
Our anticipation got the better of us, I think.
Yeah, it did.
Didn't we see a little bit of Civil War, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I think we walked there so early, we caught the end of a movie. I don't know if that's you know, kosher or not.
Yeah. Worth it, though. I mean, that fight at the very end. But anyway, yeah. Anyway. We may have jumped the gun just a little.
Yeah. So we get there pretty early and start looking around, and I thought, dang it, it's empty. I wonder how many people they're going to get here. And I was, and then it occurred to me, oh man, we're really early. And I think the movie still didn't start for another hour. And within 15 minutes, that place was nearly packed. People were showing up and I mean, it was unbelievable. Anyway, so we sit down and sitting there watching the film. And I think Heidi came in soon after that and introduced herself and mentioned she was there representing Operation Underground Railroad. And they passed a basket around for people to contribute to the cause, which was great. If you're going to see this kind of a showing, if you're not willing to contribute, you know.
That's right.
But what I liked is that they passed it around again at the end. Because a lot of people there, including myself, I knew what it was about, but I didn't know what was going to happen. I think my mindset going into it was, yes, I know that they're going to rescue children, but how graphic is it going to be? What are they going to show? And that's the mindset of a lot of people. That's a lot of their reservations. I think that's one of my wife's reservations as well. To going to see it is, I don't want to see that, you know, I don't want to have to see what's going on. And the thing was, is it is such an uplifting film. Yes. I mean, they go in, they go undercover. Tim Ballard at the time, this is when he used to go undercover with them. It's my understanding he doesn't anymore. He's now the face of the organization. There's a lot of risk involved with doing this. So he went undercover with a bunch of other volunteers, people who are experienced in this field. They work with the local government. I think that's a very important aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think it's the Huffington Post. They love to go after good. I don't know why. But I think they called him a rogue or something like that. I can't remember.
I think a vigilante is the word.
Yeah, vigilante, yeah. Going out and breaking laws. And that is not the case. They don't even go
100%
into
false.
Correct. And they go into the country. They won't even step foot in the country until they have, until they are working hand in hand with the government and have permission to do that. They were, and because the government are the ones who come in and make the arrests. I mean, if that's the case, how on earth could he be a vigilante? But anyway, I digress. I get kind of fired up about it because it angers me that people would dare go against something so good. Anyway, so they go undercover in multiple different countries and act as though that they are travelers looking for prostitutes, underage prostitutes. And they set up a big party, at least that's what it seems like, and try to convince the traffickers to bring the kids. And almost every single child, they're kids. Like, they really are. I mean, what? How old were they? They from about 10 to 15,
yeah,
10
I
to 16?
Yeah, I think one of their rescues, well, it depends. I mean, we don't want to spoil the movie for any of you, but they do go to, you know, certain countries, and I think Haiti and Colombia, and, you know, a lot of the kids they rescue, some are in their teens, you know, 13, 14.
Yeah.
But then some of the kids that they rescue, I mean, in Haiti were 5, 6.
Yeah. And the thing is, they do the filming so well. They blur out the kids' faces. They keep their identities pure, so you don't, I mean, they do everything right, and it's fantastic. The only really the faces you see are the people who aren't involved with it anymore, the people on Operation Underground Railroad, because the people who still are, you need to keep their identities safe. And they keep the children anonymous. It's fun. It's great. But they go in, have this party, and when the kids are all there and they know they're there, then the local officials come in and make the bust and arrest everybody. I believe, and they do this in the United States as well. Don't think it's just overseas. But that's something I didn't know prior to going to this movie. I thought it was only overseas. Like, this stuff doesn't happen here. And it's happening 45 minutes away from us.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to some locals here. One of the men who were heavily involved with it was one of their elementary or middle school teachers. And I mean, these are people you know. These are people you trust.
These are your barber, your teacher.
Yeah, you have no
idea.
Your
lawyer.
I mean, apparently, so the one of them, he was a, this is just hearsay. Just keep in mind. But from what I heard from a close friend is it was their teacher when they were younger. And he has foreign exchange students come live with him all the time. They had no idea. Nobody had any idea that he was involved with this behind the scenes. And the evidence was shocking, and that he was 100% involved. He was considered himself a trafficker, you know, and it just angers me to think people could be involved with this stuff.
Yeah. And like Mitch is frustrated. I mean, it just blows my mind, our minds really, that something so evil could exist in the world. And just to give you some numbers, because I was just like Mitch, when I first heard about it, when I had a very basic knowledge, first of all, I couldn't believe it was happening overseas. I mean, that kind of evil is just unfathomable to me. But there's over 10 million kids who are forced in this kind of exploitation. Sex trafficking isn't the only form of exploitation that we're talking about. I mean, 2 million kids are, you know, trafficked for sex every year, but at the same time, kids are being exploited for forced begging, servitude, labor camps, child soldiers, big problem in Africa. And but here in the United States, it is estimated that there's over 100,000 just about 100,000 kids in the United States, as civil as we might and as developed as we might pretend to be, there's 100,000 kids here in the United States that are being exploited for sex. And that number is just too high for the, just to be with Mitch here. I had no idea. I thought it was just a foreign thing as well. I couldn't even fathom that it was happening here in the United States. And not only is it happening here in the United States, but it is thriving here in the United States. And here, from where we're broadcasting this podcast, Laramie, Wyoming, I mean, it's happening here, and it's a huge problem just 45 minutes down the road, and probably even bigger. In fact, I know it's bigger because we're just developing a partnership with an organization known as Streets Hope in Denver. And it's a huge problem in Denver, and that's just 2 hours away. So if you think it's not happening in a city near you or in your own city, you are sorely mistaken.
Yeah, and No, Ty, that reminds me. For those of you who listen, if you come from a business background at all, one of the things Tyler and I are going through right now, I mean, economics is a big part of the business industry. And one thing that we always talk about is if you want to have a supply of something, there needs to be a demand. If there's no demand for it, you don't do it. So what does that tell us that there's that many children in it? It means there's a huge demand for little kids to be exploited, whether sexually or in the labor force or whatever it is overseas or here. The fact that there is such a high demand for it, it's appalling, you know. And from the I won't go that route, but go ahead.
Well, if you guys get a chance, you know, we can recommend, and I think we have this included on our Facebook site. If you want to know more about human trafficking, child exploitation, both here and abroad, there's some literature and some movies. One of my favorite books and one of the most humbling books I've ever read is a book called God in a Brothel by Daniel Walker. And he talks, and he's a former New Zealand cop that would infiltrate brothels all over the world, and he said that there's a stereotype that he went in with that, you know, all these pedophiles were little creepy old men that had, you know, you guys have seen, you know, the pictures on the internet of the creepy old boy that's on the sex offender list, but I mean, when he would pretend to be, you know, a sex trafficker, I mean, these people are your lawyers. They're your teachers. They're your principals. They're your accountants. They are just regular people. They don't have a stereotypical look, and it could be anybody. And just as Mitch alluded to, in Cheyenne, it was a teacher that, you know, hosted foreign exchange students. You'd think that this guy would be, you know, a model in the community, but, you know, it turns out that he was trafficking kids. So spot on there.
It's unbelievable when you think about it. I mean, the bust, from what I recall, it was one of the largest busts to occur in the United States. Am I right?
Yeah. And I think it's the largest bust ever to happen in Wyoming, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, 15 people being arrested. And for those of you that don't know, Wyoming, when the trafficking laws come out, as far as like ranks statewide, Wyoming ranks in the low as far as trafficking awareness and trafficking laws. I mean, Wyoming has got to do a better job. And, you know, one of the big things is the population that we have here. But, you know, that's no excuse. I mean, laws need to be put in place. Awareness needs to be spread. And our neighboring countries of Idaho and Utah have done a phenomenal job at raising awareness and fighting this evil. I mean, when Mitch and I saw this movie, it was in Idaho Falls. Idaho Falls and Rexburg are awesome. Those two towns are on fire against child sex trafficking and child exploitation. And you know, Wyoming needs to learn from their example, and we need to take a stand against this, because just like you said, it's happening so close. And that bust, that was, I think, one of the biggest busts that's ever happened in Wyoming, and it happened during a rodeo.
Yeah, and you know, Ty, I think it's the biggest thing with regards to Wyoming's involvement. Let me back up. I think education is key with Wyoming. I don't think people realize that this is actually an issue at all. See, with Wyoming, we don't have a very large population. However, in my mind, this is the doctrine according to Mitch, I feel that sex trafficking in Wyoming is huge because of the interstate system. There are so many people who travel through the state of Wyoming on that dang I-80 road. Everybody hates that road, but the fact of the matter is there's a lot of, whether it be truckers, whether it be
oil rigs,
yeah, whatever it is, you know, it is a major hub in my mind of where kids will be trafficked across. So whether it may not be occurring, you know, all the time in people's homes or anything here in Wyoming, but its involvement is massive with regards to them being trafficked across the state. And I think, bringing awareness to it is a huge step. We have another individual who's in the MBA program with us. His wife actually was working at a hotel. And one of the things they're supposed to do is keep an eye out for traffickers coming and staying in the hotel, bringing little kids in, and then to report those things, and they tell them what to look for. And I thought that was amazing, you know, fantastic for them to do that. And then I thought, well, they wouldn't be telling them to do that if it wasn't an issue. And I just don't think many people know how big of an issue it is. And I think that's key, is raising the awareness, going out and seeing this video or this movie, The Abolitionist, and then spreading the word. Because if the word isn't spread, then nothing will change. And I think that's going to be one of my big deals coming up in life, is one thing I learned how to do this last summer. I wrote legislation. And if it comes down to where I need to write anti-trafficking legislation and present it to the state, then so be it. You know, whatever it takes. And I don't know if a lot of people realize that fighting trafficking behind the scenes is just as strong as being out there with the kids, because there are so many hoops you have to jump through and so much work that needs to be done to do this.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And that's what we're all about here, Gifts of Grace. You know, Gifts of Grace mission is to prevent child sex trafficking in the Dominican Republic through the power of education and empowerment. But, you know, we also want to raise awareness. And that's the big thing of this Dream Saver podcast, is not only to highlight what we're doing and what other organizations are doing, but just to raise awareness on the issue as a whole. And so we hope we can continue to do that. But we're getting off track.
Yeah, we do. We
are.
Well.
Where are we at?
The abolitionist still.
Yeah, you were talking about, I think we ended and then we got off track on, I think, the age of some of the people that they rescued.
Might have to be something we edit out.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the movie had just finished and that's where we got off track. So I think.
Yeah.
So the movie just got out. What were your thoughts? What were your feelings?
Yeah. It was really similar to the first time when I started to think about my little girl with regards to sex trafficking. When the film ended, that's all I could think about was, okay, what can I do now? What can I do now? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And after that, Heidi stood up, came in, and gave it an incredible little speech. Yeah, I don't know what else to call it, but for and in behalf of Operation Underground Railroad, and she got emotional. And you could just feel her love for what they do in the room, and it was powerful.
And I don't think Heidi's ever been overseas either. I could be mistaken, but I mean, her passion is a lot similar to that of yours, where you may have never seen some of these kids that are being exploited, but just the thought of exploitation in general just gets you, you know, fired up, and any exploitation to any kid anywhere.
Yeah, you
Dominican
don't mess
Republic,
with kids.
Wyoming, or anywhere. Yeah, so. Yeah, so kudos to both of you.
Yeah, and then it was immediately after that, Tyler took me over to the other theater. There were two showings going on at the same time, and introduced me to members of Operation Shield. And in there was a generous, whether an individual or a family, I can't remember, who bought out the theater and then invited a lot of people to go to that showing. Where they gave away seats. And it was incredible the amount of people who were in there and all the support that they were showing towards Operation Shield as well as Operation Underground Railroad. And yeah, I had the opportunity of meeting them. And after that, I was dead set that, all right, Ty, what do you need me to do this summer? I'm all in. What do I need to do?
Yeah, and at this point, just a little tidbit. At this point, Operation Underground Railroad and us, Gifts of Grace, had no partnership whatsoever, had no communication.
No.
Gifts of Grace wasn't even tax exempt.
It didn't even exist yet.
But yeah,
it
basically we were just, yeah, we were just people, you know,
I mean, it was basically an idea. I mean, everything, Tyler would do some incredible things when he was going to school in Rexburg, Idaho. And he named his organization that he was doing Gifts of Grace. I mean, it wasn't officially incorporated in the state yet. You know, it was an awesome idea for the future. And then after this discussion, we decided it's time. And we put the shoulder to the wheel and started on the paperwork.
Yeah, at this point in the organization, the year before, I think we had helped, I think, 40 children get to school that year. And that same summer, help another 35 kids get to school and prevent them from being exploited because now they've got to be in school. But, you know, our organization, was it a turning point, like Mitch said, and it was either just keep going like we've been going and kind of do minimal good, or get this thing incorporated and basically the sky's the limit with it. And that's where when Mitch said, you know, what do you need me to do? That's when we put him to work.
Yeah, and it was there's a lot of self-learning that went on with it. I had never incorporated an organization before either. I pretty much, the only thing that I had going for me is I had completed a year of law school, so I was really familiar with legalese. That was about it. So when I would read things, I could actually understand what it, I actually understood what it said in the documents. And anyway, from then on, it was just paperwork, 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 writing bylaws, creating a website, creating a logo. And I mean, it was just nonstop after that, you know, just every day there was something new that needed to be tackled. And it seemed like more and more things kept popping up that we needed to do. And for somehow or another, they were accomplished.
Yeah, it all kind of, for me at least, I don't know if this is your thoughts, but it all kind of culminated. Yeah, it all kind of culminated that day in Rexburg when we sat down with our board and just kind of, you know, took it all in that this was real and this was happening and that so many kids were going to be blessed on our behalf. It all came to something. Audience, you can figure out the word. I don't know what the word is, but with those people in Rexburg, you know, that group of people we had and the people that had been involved with Gifts of Grace. And it amazes me that, I mean, it took me to go to a different country to kind of open my eyes on what the world was really like. But these people, I mean, these people in Rexburg that sat around that board that day, they had never been to the DR, and very few of them have ever been to a foreign country. But, I mean, they sat there passionate and ready to do whatever was necessary to help these kids. And it was just rewarding and fulfilling for me. And I was full of thanks for you that day in Rexburg when I just realize that this is now an official nonprofit organization, that we are now tax exempt, and just like, you know, we're unleashed, you know, to do the best job that we can do and take this thing as far as God will allow us to take it.
Yeah, and it was basically, all right, time to get to work as soon as that happened. Because once that occurred, it was, okay, there's so much we can do now. The sky's the limit, you know. Doors just automatically open. Because before you become tax exempt, who's going to donate to you if they, you know, can't get that tax exemption on
our
tax
donations? Pre-tax exempt status were just, I mean, honestly, it was my missionary buddies. I mean, people that saw what we were trying to do, believed in the cause, and loved the Dominican people enough to throw us a few bucks and to say, I believe in what you're doing. Go help those kids. And now with our tax-exempt status, it's like you scratch our backs, we scratch yours. So that was a huge step for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it all came together, really, the kind of plan in motion at the abolitionist. So, I mean, I know that was my favorite part of the movie, was afterward when Mitch kind of decided to take on this responsibility and use his talents in a way that could benefit our organization. But other than that part,
and the drive back,
yeah,
our drive back was Star intense. Valley. We had a very incredible discussion on our way back to Star Valley. We didn't start heading back till after midnight, probably, and it's about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
I stayed awake the whole time.
Oh yeah, we were wired. Funny, we were ready to go
on long road trips. Mitch and I, you know, we usually listen to music a little too loud, maybe for our own good, or talk politics, which both of us maybe don't know as much as we'd like to know, or maybe don't, you know, it is what it is with politics. But well,
the problem is, I mean, Gifts of Grace will never endorse anybody, correct?
That's right.
Cannot. And however, the sad thing is politics plays a big role in the fight against sex trafficking. Because, I mean, whatever your country decides to do, and you know, whatever path they're going on, whether they're fighting against it or they're not. I guess the whole thing is if they're not trying to fight against it, you're basically for it. And so, you know, that's why we get into those kind of discussions.
Yeah. So. Speaking of that, let's go into that just for a second, not too heavily into the whole political scene. You know, now we are, the date officially today is when we're recording this podcast, except is September 21st. The debate is only a few days away and it's got everybody excited, but we're not going to go into that, but we are going to go into politics. Gifts of Grace, we support any effort to go into fighting sex trafficking. For example, John Kasich, I think, was the only candidate to even mention sex trafficking during the Republican debates. And President Obama has said that sex trafficking has, it should not exist in a civilized world. And I agree 100%. So we do support.
But the sad thing about politics is actions speak louder than words.
And that's so true. And that's exactly into, the world is separated. I'm not sure which department does it. I think it's the Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State. They do three tiers when it comes to trafficking laws and enforcement. Tier one is a country that has trafficking laws and they are enforced. Tier two is a country that has anti-trafficking laws, but they're not enforced. And for any of you listeners, Dominican Republic falls into that sphere. The Dominican Republic, there are laws against exploiting children and having sex with children and underage prostitution, but they're just not enforced. So that's one of the things that we fight with the Dominican Republic. And then there's tier three, which are countries that have no anti-trafficking laws. And so thus, they are not enforced because they are not laws. Yeah. But anyway, so, like I said, me and Mitchell were driving back and, had an intense conversation about, you know, what we're getting into for one. Well, we'd already kind of been into it and I think we just decided to keep going forward and, just our vision for the organization as a whole.
I think it was the next morning I had already started already came up with the logo on pretty much on accident. I was just messing around with Gifts of Grace and, well, now it's on the shirts and everything.
Yeah,
and
that logo you see, Mitchell designed that. And, you know, that's what's cool about Mitch. And that's why it's so valuable for him. I don't know if it's something in our blood, but it's both a curse and a week. It's both a blessing and a curse sometimes. But we tend to obsess over some things.
You get things done when you obsess over them, though.
Yes, that's true. And Mitchell, he's had a long history of becoming obsessed with things and succeeding at them. He's a former college basketball player, current graduate student, and now he's a lifelong fanatic against the fight against child exploitation. But so, what was your favorite part of the movie, personally?
That is a good question. It's been so long.
I know,
it's been so long since I've seen it. I'm planning on going and seeing it here soon when it plays in Cheyenne. Possibly when it's in Star Valley, I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it. But, oh man, let me think.
I really liked, and there's a lot of the parts of the movie I liked.
Well, to nail down your favorite part, you know, it's, you know, I think it was when, I mean, the whole way they did the movie was incredible. I don't want to give away the movie though, is the problem. So,
well, here's a different question while you dwell on like what your, we'll finish your thought first.
Yeah. Well, so in the movie, you see them go into an area and when they try to rescue the kids, it fails. And you are so heart wrenched. And you see Tim Ballard bend over and say, and just go, what about these kids?
Yeah, well, you think of the pressure on him in that moment. I mean, he gave up
all these donations, you know, that came to you.
Yeah.
And you weren't able to deliver. I can't even imagine the thought.
He worked for government. I mean, you can't get more secure than that. And then he left that, went to nonprofit, and you really can't get more insecure than that.
Yeah.
And so for him to, and I think this was their first mission. I think it was Operation Genesis, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm mistaken, someone from Operation Underground Railroad can correct me.
I mean, you got to stay and watch the whole movie because they do have an opportunity to go back. And I think the very end of that operation was probably my favorite. You know, when they actually got to go back and work with the same people and succeed.
Mm-hmm. I really like that part too. maybe they succeed. Spoiler alert.
Do they?
Or do they? But yeah, you think about Tim and that man. I think this was their first operation, the one in Colombia. If I'm mistaken, you know, someone can correct me on that. But a lot of pressure for him. But you know, my favorite part of the movie. You know, I really like that part too. Honestly, the first part is what I really enjoy. There's a scene where basically the members of OUR can either do what's right or do what's easy. And they do, in my opinion, what's right and all the good that's come from that organization. And that's my favorite part. And there's just the movie as a whole. And Mitch, if you could, what do you hope the audience takes out of the movie? And once again, those showing times, October 13th in Star Valley, November 2nd in Cheyenne. And me and Mitch will come back after both showings. We'll do a summary show on what our thoughts were, the environment that was in both of the theaters. We encourage all to come out. But what do you hope the audience takes away from this film?
Well, I hope you become not only an abolitionist, but a fanatic.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, it's something that you just said a second ago. You can either do what's easy or you can do what's right. And I hope everybody has that mindset afterwards. What's easy? Well, it's a great movie and you go home and go back to your life. The hard part is applying what you know now and acting on it. You know, it goes back to that silence is consent thing. Well, now you know. What are you going to do about it? You know, for people who see it and they act on it, those are heroes. You know, those are the people who actually are willing to fight to make a difference. And that's what I hope. I hope we create heroes out of it.
I agree 100%. And I think we will. I think this is the biggest step that Wyoming can take against child sex trafficking in this year. And I think it's going to be a big event for both towns. Hope you come out and support Gifts of Grace, OUR, Operation Shield, AIM, International Justice Mission. Just support someone that's helping to fight this evil. And, you know, for me, I hope that the audience would come out inspired. And more than inspired, motivated. The movie, like we said, they did a very great, they did an awesome job at editing it and doing all that stuff. But, you know, it is heavy. It deals with a very heavy, heavy topic. Some of the facts that they show, you know, they're hard to fathom that that's actually happening. And I know I've talked to a few people that said that they, I don't want to say disturbed, but that they dwelled on, which is, I think is a good thing, that they dwelt on the feeling that they had during the movie, you know, for a few days afterwards. But
I think a lot of that was on that. The child, was it Gardy? That is his name?
Yeah, Gardy, I think.
I think that was a huge thing for Operation Underground Railroad, where you feel attached to a boy who was kidnapped, and his name's Gardy. And the sad part about it is they're still looking for him. And
it's been 7 years, I think, since he was taken, pre-earthquake. Yeah. So that's pre-2010.
Yeah, and people still try to get money from him, ask for ransom, you know, and it's just, it's heart-wrenching. I think that's where a lot of people get that motivation, because they dwell on that, and they actually, you see the father and how he reacts, just a little boy, you know.
And that's what people need to take, is that these are someone's kids. These are someone's kids, and that it's happening in this world, that's happening close to us, and you know, we won't get into this too heavy in detail on this show, but, you know, Gifts of Grace, we're kind of going through a similar thing. And, you know, OUR, we keep tooting that horn, but they're already in the process of helping us out with our dilemma that we've got with a couple of our kids. So keep listening, and we'll keep you updated on that on a different show. That discussion as a whole deserves its own show. But come out and see the film. We hope you leave motivated to do something. I know when I first saw it, there was an urgency, almost a feeling of urgency that came over me, that was like, something's got to be done, and something's got to be done tonight, tomorrow morning. You know, something's got to be done right now, ASAP, because this is happening. It's slavery, it's exploitation, and these are kids. So,
yeah, slavery is not done away.
No. In fact,
and that's the thriving. Other thing to keep in mind. Just because the law says it's illegal does not mean slavery is done away with. And I think that's one of the other big motivating factors for everybody to keep in mind is people, I mean, even today, well, they talk about slavery as if it's a big, some distant thing in the past. Like, slavery's still happening. You know, it's not defeated yet. And until we defeat it completely, there's no reason to stop.
Agree 100%. And Mitchell, any last words for our audience? Any last words, thoughts, encouragements?
I don't know what else I can say on top of what's been said, other than, yeah, please go out, see the film, and educate yourself. Not just that, but educate those around you. When you do so, you're going to realize you're going to get a lot of pushback. But that just should show you how important this is.
In fact, I think that pushback almost means, no, it does mean that you're doing something right.
Yeah, in the world we live in today, if you're getting pushback, yeah, keep going. Because it means you're doing something that the adversary doesn't want you to be doing.
I don't know how many of our audience members have seen the movie Machine Gun Preacher.
I still haven't.
You got to see it. It's good. There's a scene in the movie where, I mean, this guy, long story short, you know, he goes and he fights slavery, another form of slavery in Africa with child soldiers. And he opens up an orphanage for the kids that he saved from the LRA. And there's a scene where one of his buddies is like, you know, you need to start being careful where you travel because the LRA has put a bounty on your head. And he's like, does that worry you? And the guy just says, no. In fact, I think it means that I'm doing something right. So that pushback that you get, it means you're doing something right. And, you know, my last word is, get involved. Visit our website, giftsofgracewy.org. You know, find out how you can become a fanatic. Find out how you can use your talents to further the mission of Gifts of Grace, and further the mission against child exploitation and child sex trafficking, because the only thing that evil needs to triumph is for good people to do nothing. So please don't do nothing. Go out and see the film. Go see some of the other events that we'll put on. We're going to show more documentaries in 2017 of some other organizations and host some more fundraisers. And we hope that you'll support us. And we're thankful that you listened. And this is Tyler from the Dream Saver Podcast.
And Mitchell Schwab.
And we will see you next time on the Dream Saver Podcast. This is